Social networking. We hear more and more about it every day. We are going to meet the author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network. So stay tuned for that. Angela Crocker has written a book, and I think she had me in mind when she wrote it. The title is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network. Hi.
Hello.
Who did you have in mind when you wrote this book?
Well, I had everyone in mind. We all feel a little bit like idiots. With all the new technology that comes, it shifts so quickly. It feels like sand under our feet moving. And The Complete Idiot's Guides are intended to make things easy to understand. They're step-by-step. They're written in a sort of humorous, approachable, friendly language, just as you and I are talking, Bill. It could be me talking through the page to any reader.
Is there a distinct difference in terms of who uses Facebook and who uses Twitter, or what they are particularly useful for?
People use them in different ways. There are some demographic shifts. Sometimes you'll see facts and figures that suggest that only young people, Generation Y or whatever, are using Twitter. Other times you'll see a suggestion that only those in their 30s and 40s are using Facebook. The reality is it's not about the demographic. It's about what kind of communication are they trying to do. Are they looking for news headlines? Then they're on Twitter. Are they looking to interact with friends and family and brands that are of interest? Then they're on Facebook. One of the biggest growing demographics on Facebook is actually grandparents. Those, 55 plus, who've got little kids in their lives and they want to see the photos and the videos. Perfect place to be.
Yeah, I get the videos and I get the photographs from my kids. I get it on my iPhone. I don't need Twitter or Facebook for that. The program is on Facebook and the producers manage that.
Right.
I personally haven't found much motivation or reason to be on Facebook. I've recently got a Twitter account, and I follow some organizations and some individuals on Twitter, but haven't felt very compelled to tweet yet. That may change.
That's very common with Twitter, actually. Lots of people, they sign up, they hear all those of us who are advocates for it. So they create an account, they get an at name, whatever that might be. Mine's at Angela Crocker. And then they reach a stumbling block. They realize they're following a few people, but it feels a lot like just information being thrown at them. You're probably finding this, Bill, and you're not getting much two-way conversation.
Well, I haven't been trying to get two-way conversations, but I've had two problems. I found it, first of all, it's been interesting in that you learn things quickly that you might not learn.
Very much
I've also
so.
Learned that you better confirm that what you've seen is true.
Yes.
But I've also seen a lot of mundane and a lot of, frankly, rude and uncivil
there
discussion
is some of that.
On Twitter.
Yep.
And I can't be bothered with that. I find it...
Well, if I was coaching you, Bill, I would encourage you to shift who you're following. There's a lot of very intelligent, well thought out, interesting dialogue that's happening. And for sure, there's people who are sharing what's on their jam is on their toast or making crass comments about politicians or other people in the news. But just unfollow those people. You don't have to listen to what they have to say. If they're not contributing to a meaningful dialogue,
yeah, I find it a bit like
listen.
Some of the comments on websites,
Mm-hmm.
People can be anonymous. They can say outrageous things about other people, and you kind of go, well, I just don't want to be in their world.
Absolutely. One of the best features that Twitter added in the last year or so is called Twitter Lists. And what you can do is organize the people that you follow into different lists according to subjects. So one of my lists is actually called Metro Vancouver. And it's all people who live anywhere, it's pretty broadly defined, from Whistler to Chilliwack. But they're people I might actually bump into in the real world. And for the most part are individuals. There's a few that are organizations. Some of the theater companies in town, which is a personal interest, are on that list because I want to interact with them. I want to see what's happening
in
my community.
Well, organizations like that can use both Twitter and Facebook to advertise, if you like, to get information out about them in a very efficient and inexpensive manner.
Absolutely. It's inexpensive for them to put it out, but the value comes from their viewers, their people who follow them or listen to them through the social networks sharing that information, because you're much more likely to go to the theater or pick up a particular book or attend an event if a friend has recommended it, much more so than if the organization itself says, oh, come, we've got tickets on sale.
Angela Crocker is my guest. Her brand new book is The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network. Create a successful online community for your business or organization. I welcome your calls to Angela, 604-280-9898, toll free, 1-877-399-9898. Have you started to use Facebook more and more? Probably been using it for a long time. And what about Twitter? And how do you distinguish between the two? Do you use both? 604-280-9898, or do you want some help learning how to do it? Back after this. Talking with Angela Crocker, author of The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network. So if you have any question or comment about social networking and what Facebook has done for you, what Twitter is doing for you, or how to set up a social network, give Angela a call at 604-280-9898. It's been fascinating watching the way social networking and news gathering kind of combines forces. I know that Nick, we talked about this yesterday, he found his friend Ryan in Japan on
Fantastic.
Facebook when he couldn't get him in any other way. He
Yes.
managed to make contact with him on Facebook.
The Facebook, Twitter, both are really been key communication channels in and out of Japan to know that people are safe, to even announce the news. I had initially heard about the earthquake on Twitter, I guess it was late Friday night, and was surprised. You know, was it true? Was it not? You have to take Twitter and Facebook with a little grain of salt because you're never sure. It's not the same journalistic ethics that are put into a 140-character tweet that you put into a newscast or a published newspaper.
Right. 604-280-9898 to Janice. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
You have a question?
I don't have a question. You asked how we've used Twitter to interact. I'm heading to Rwanda on Friday with the Wellspring Foundation that I work with that does education in Rwanda. And just for fun, I thought I'd tweet the president of Rwanda, and he actually tweeted back. And I thought, is this for real? And then I've done some research, and it turns out that, yes, he, in fact, does interact with people who tweet with him. So I thought, wow, it just opens up this avenue for you to connect with leaders in high places that you would never have had that opportunity with otherwise.
Yeah, fascinating.
Yeah.
What did he say?
He said, I would love to meet you. So we'll find out next week. Maybe I'll have to get back to you and see whether I really did meet with the president of Rwanda. So,
how long are you going to be there?
We're going to be there for 2 weeks. I'm going to see the work, the educational programs that we're doing in throughout Kigali and the extended rural schools and stuff. So it's quite exciting, and look forward to seeing this work of Wellspring firsthand. So
be in touch when you get back.
Yeah, we'll do.
Thanks, Janice.
Thanks, so. Okay, bye-bye.
That's interesting. And a lot of politicians are using Twitter. They're not necessarily doing all their own tweeting, though.
They're not doing all their own tweeting, and they're sort of jumping into the conversation when they need it, which really irked me. You know, take the recent Liberal race as an example.
Yeah.
A lot of the candidates that were in the leadership race suddenly had Twitter accounts and were trying to engage the community. And really, the way to use Twitter is to be part of the conversation for a much longer period of time. So any aspiring politicians listening need to get on there now and actually engage between now and the next provincial election or federal election or whatever election.
And how engaged can they be? How engaged should they be? How much time can they spend? When you look at the schedule of a prime minister, the schedule of a premier, the schedule of a cabinet minister, it's pretty intense. And this is not to say lots of other people don't have intense jobs and busy jobs. But I think it's a terrific idea for them to be able to engage with their audience, with their voters. But then if they get busy and they don't do it, are people going to get mad at them or resent the fact that they're not?
I don't think they're going to resent the fact. I mean, I think we're all going to acknowledge that they are busy public figures. But what can happen is they can spend a few minutes a day. I teach at Douglas College entrepreneurs who are starting businesses, and they are absolutely swamped. They're just slammed to the wall with so many things they must do to get those businesses off the ground. And the same advice would hold true for a politician, that if you invest, I usually advise half an hour, 5 days a week, so that you can manage 2 to 4 different social outlets. So it could be Facebook and Twitter. It could be Twitter and a blog. It's a chance to look at what people are saying, respond to comments. I mean, how long does it take to respond to an email? Just a few seconds. Mm-hmm. Same thing on Facebook or Twitter. And at the very least, to read what's being said. and make it really clear that you're listening. And even if the public figure doesn't have a chance to reply personally, which I hope they would some of the time, to assign a team member who's very transparent about the fact that they're tweeting on behalf of the premier, the prime minister, or whoever.
Yeah, make sure that people know, because I remember somebody was upset. They thought, well, we had the leaders debate in here that Mike DeYoung was tweeting while being engaged in the discussion. If he was, I didn't notice, so I'm assuming that somebody was actually tweeting for him.
For sure.
During that time. So yeah. It's important that the people who are seeing the tweets know that it's being done on behalf of the politician and not pretending to be the politician.
Absolutely. And a very common convention with that is simply to sign off with the name or the initials of the person who's putting that tweet out there on behalf of the figure. Absolutely.
Okay. 604-280-9898 as we go back to the phones. Whoops. Call just dropped off. How do you decide between when you text and when you tweet or email or go on Facebook?
It's about public or private. To me, a text message is something private. It's between me and my husband. We're arranging dinner or daycare or whatever has to happen.
Yeah.
Email, again, is private. In general, it's a one-on-one communication, unless you're creating a list for a business. So you're using a service like AWeber or Constant Contact.
But we're constantly told not to think that our email is private or secure.
That's true. That's true. But you can personalize the message that you're sending. You can intend it to go to a specific individual. You don't want to be sharing passwords or personal information that could compromise your security, either financially or personally. Other kinds of social networks, things like Facebook, are very public if you choose to make them public. And individuals, if they have a public life, can actually use a Facebook feature called Pages. So when you sign up for Facebook, you get something called a profile. You develop a reciprocal relationship with everybody that you are a friend with in Facebook lingo. If you are a brand or a public figure, you can create a Facebook page so that you have one-way communication with people who are interested in your brand, service, your policies, whatever it might be. So there's ways to adjust how you use social networking.
Do you have to be concerned about viruses?
Sometimes. There are sometimes viruses hidden in links in tweets on Twitter, for sure. Sometimes on LinkedIn, you get fake messages that aren't coming from LinkedIn but appear to be coming from LinkedIn. And if you're running your own social network, then you also have to take that into account and put some security levels in place to help prevent that kind of spread.
This is a blatant self-promotion.
Go for it.
But I have discovered recently that you can, for example, take an app for CKNW and put it on your iPhone.
Yes.
And listen to CKNW.
Yes.
And other stations if you so choose. But it's particularly important because as the high buildings are created in downtown Vancouver, AM audio has become increasingly hard to get. You do it this way. You take the app and you take it off the iPhone, especially if you've got Wi-Fi. Doesn't cost you anything.
Yep.
Clear as a bell.
Absolutely.
So the technology continues to change. I said to somebody the other day, now you don't need a radio to listen to the radio.
You don't. No, your iPhone has become the radio. Android has a similar app. Some of the other smartphones are developing them as well. And even just a mobile browser will allow you to do that. So,
and it's all in creating a social network.
So yes.
So The Complete Idiot's Guide to Creating a Social Network. My thanks to Angela Crocker. And Jessica is going to be in next with what you have been telling us on email. Oh, and probably Twitter and Facebook too.